couple of weeks ago, I had the message in the book of Ephesians, and I said that we were going to be following the book of Ephesians, kind of going through that, through the book. And a couple of weeks ago in the sermon, as we read, we talked about the picture that Apostle Paul was painting to the book of Ephesians, or to those of the church of Ephesus. Two pictures that he painted. One was the before, the dark, the gloomy picture of who and where we once lived and walked. And the other picture was the after, knowing Christ, and the, a pretty picture, a beautiful picture, what's waiting for us. Before we get into chapter 3, I'm going to pose a question, which I've asked a few of already. When somebody says that you're a prisoner or I'm a prisoner, is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? You know, for those of us that know the scripture, right away our thoughts go to Apostle Paul, and we're going to be talking about that, where he says that I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But have you ever considered yourself a prisoner? So with this afternoon, I'd like to split this message up into two parts. As Apostle Paul talks about being a prisoner for Jesus Christ, but also as he's explaining to the church in Ephesus, a mystery or a secret. So before we look into God's word and we start reading, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity that we can look into your word again. Just ask and pray that your spirit may fill us, Lord, with your wisdom and understanding. Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would teach us. Heavenly Father, that you would fill us with the knowledge that only comes from heaven above. We thank you, we love you, and just ask and pray that you would be in our midst and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And let's see what Apostle Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. He starts off by saying, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Whereof I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with a might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. Amen. So Apostle Paul in the previous chapter painted a picture. But now he's painting a different picture. Maybe not a different picture, but maybe a little bit more into detail, if you will. And he starts off and he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So I pose the question, do you feel like you're a prisoner? I don't think we do. If we think of somebody that's a prisoner, is somebody that has no freedom, somebody that has no rights, somebody that is confined within perhaps a cell, or we think in a prison cell, prison walls. Apostle Paul states that he finds himself being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And when you think about why he made this comment, because everything that he is doing for Christ. It's not of himself, it's not what he does, but it's for Christ. If we think about Apostle Paul's life, you know, he was one that persecuted the church. What he thought he did was for God. He thought he was doing the right thing. And we know Paul's story, that God approached Apostle Paul, blinded him. We know that he received a sight by Ananias, but what's interesting, you know, it says that in Acts, it says that he goes to Ananias and he says, Paul is going to be for the Gentiles. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. That's where my plan for him is. And that's one of the things about this chapter 3 was Paul understood where his purpose in God's big plan was in his life. I talked about in the beginning when we read chapter 1 that the book of Ephesians talks about three things: your purpose, your possession, and your position in Christ. Do you know where you stand in all three of those? Apostle Paul did. And Apostle Paul's position, when he starts off in verse 3, says that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. As Apostle Paul started his ministry, he was going to the temples and he was preaching to the Jews. That's where he started off his ministry. And we can read through time and he's gone through different temples that he ruffled a lot of feathers. He was thrown out. He was beaten. And there was a time that the Romans guards actually had to take him for his life. And we know that, and I'm kind of paraphrasing as we go through, and if you want to read more, you can read from Acts chapter 9 through 21 or 22. Paul gives a lot, talks a lot about what has happened in his life. How many times he was actually in the courts and how many trials he's had till he finally realized that he was only being put up there for political reasons and then exercised his Roman position where he was actually then set free. But he understood that being in jail for 2 years as a prisoner was nothing compared to being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And when Apostle Paul states that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ, or for Jesus Christ and of Jesus Christ, it's not a bad thing, it's actually a good thing. Because he gives up of himself. He gave up of his freedom. He gave up of the things that he did for Christ. And we can read Galatians and Colossians. As a matter of fact, when he was in prison waiting for the different trials is when he wrote the books of Colossians and Ephesians. And he goes on to say that that if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you word. See, Apostle Paul, he felt at one time, and he wrote down here that he felt that he was the least of all the apostles. But God revealed unto him the dispensation of grace. And the revelation that God revealed to him is what he passed on to the church of Ephesus, to you and to me. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge, the mystery of Christ. What was this mystery that he was talking about? What was this secret that he was talking about? And it was about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins and my sins, and bringing us together as to make us part of the family of God, where we can be heirs. You see, because the Jews believed they were the only ones that were going to heaven. And Apostle Paul, the mystery that was given to him, the revelation that was given to him, understood it wasn't just the Jews, but it was the Gentiles as well. Paul gave the implementation of God's plan for the Gentiles, as he writes in this book. Paul understood what his purpose was, his position and his possession, and that was in Christ, and to bring the Gentiles the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. God revealed his mystery of grace to Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul then revealed it to us. In Colossians 1:26, he wrote, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word, to be will to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. You see, he didn't only limit this to the church of Ephesus, but he also told the church of Colossians also. And this was the mystery that was impossible to know until Jesus Christ revealed it. And what is the mystery? If we look in verse 6, it tells us that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The mystery, or the secret that has been left out, is that the message of the gospel changes lives, brings hope, healing. But if it all does all that, why do we still keep it as a mystery? Why do we still keep it as a secret? Apostle Paul understood the mystery and he shared the mystery. Apostle Paul knew the secret and he shared the secret, because it wasn't a secret anymore. Jesus Christ came and he died for your sins and for my sins. And for us, we shouldn't keep it a mystery. We shouldn't keep it a secret. We need to share the secret. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul is sharing that Jesus Christ broke down that wall that was between the Jews and the Gentiles, and together we may inherit the promise of eternal life. Paul understood, again, like I said, his purpose. And what was his purpose? His purpose was to preach to the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ. His purpose was to make what is the fellowship in the body of Christ. What does that mean, to be part of the body of Christ? His purpose was to show the manifold wisdom of God. His purpose was to let everyone know that they have boldness and access with confidence through Christ. And I quoted this in the last sermon, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that ye have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, For we do not have a high priest who cannot be sympathized with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help of time of need. Because he's going through these tribulations, Apostle Paul is saying, don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Because I'm in these chains, I'm in these bonds, don't be discouraged. And then Apostle Paul goes on, and he says that in his prayer that he asks God that he would grant unto us and to them riches of his glory, strength with his might, by his Spirit, and that Christ would dwell in ours and their hearts, rooted and grounded in love, that we should understand what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of his love, to know the love of Christ that passes all our knowledge, and to be filled with the fullness of God. This is what Apostle Paul is teaching and preaching to the book of Ephesians and to us as well as we look into this chapter 3. And then he concludes and he says in his letter, who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask and think. To him be glory to all generations forever and ever. And he writes this down because he writes it out of experience. He writes this out of the events and the things that happened in his life. So when things happen in our life that Christ has done with us and has and we see the blessings that he's done for us, do we share that with others, or do we keep it a secret, or do we keep it a mystery? Because Apostle Paul sure didn't. In closing, I like the words that we sung in 447. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, because you believe, others will know that I live. May God bless his word.